Well, I thought for our Christmas banquet this year, I would talk about peace on earth. And I think we hear that Bible verse, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, from the announcement of the shepherds in Luke 2, and we'd like to see peace on earth this Christmas, and in many ways, certainly. It's important for us to remember how to get peace on earth. And really the only way to get peace on earth is by making peace with God. We can't make peace with ourselves. Even making peace with other people, as important as that is, will not ultimately bring real peace that will last on earth. Because we're sinners and we think we've got a situation resolved and somebody changes their mind or something else happens and we can only forgive them for so many times, and then unless we have God's Spirit in our heart and remember the example of Christ to forgive 70 times 7, we're not going to be able to have that peace. The Bible tells us in Romans 5, of course, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christmas really is about peace. It's appropriate to think about peace. And the only way to have peace is through that Prince of Peace, who was born in a manger, died on a cross, rose from the grave, and ascended to heaven, and is ruling right now. It's important to remember, though, what the Prince of Peace came to do. And we always know where to go in the Bible to read about the birth of Jesus, in Matthew or Luke, but there's a history there. He came into a real world because of real things that happened for thousands of years. And so if we turn back to the beginning in Genesis 3, I want to read one verse that talks about why we need this peace. Genesis 1, of course, and 2, we read that God created the whole earth and he created it good. In Genesis 3, we read about Adam and Eve sinning, listening to the serpent, and taking that fruit that God had forbidden. And then in Genesis 3:15, God pronounces this, speaking to Satan. He says, I will put enmity, which means deep hatred, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That promise shapes the entire rest of human history. That promise that there would be a seed of the woman, a descendant to come from Eve, Jesus, who would come, who would take the one who had distorted and twisted peace, Satan. Everything was peaceful in paradise. Satan came and offered a different kind of peace, a way to have peace in your own heart with you knowing all that you want to know and being able to do all that you want to do. Never mind what God said. Twisted peace, you see. And war happened. He stole the peace that we had with God. And now Jesus comes to bring it back. But the way he has to bring that back is through war. This is why peace and war are not enemies of each other. Jesus comes to fight against Satan. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this is the reason the Son of God was manifested. This is why Christmas happened, so that Jesus might destroy the works of the devil. You see, peace on earth is different than peace with the earth. We are not called to have peace with the earth, with the sinful world around us. We want to see peace on earth. And that peace comes by having peace with God, not peace with the devil or the sin and the sinful ideas around us. And Jesus preserves us by coming into a world where this enmity, this hatred was put in place. Not by you or me or Adam or Eve, but by God. God says, I will put this enmity, this conflict, this persecution, this two different groups of people in the world, not Germans and non-Germans, right? not even Jews or Gentiles, but those who belong to Jesus and those who belong to Satan. Two different groups of people in the world. Jesus preserves us when he does that, because he shows us Satan's dark side, his deception. He puts a hatred in our heart for Satan. We see people being affected by Satan and the kinds of things that they do, and we're disgusted by that. Why? Because Genesis 3:15 says God put an enmity, a hatred, a deep-seated awareness of the difference between what it means to belong to Satan and to belong to Jesus. Now, of course, the sinful man, woman, and child disagrees with God. They don't interpret the Bible this way at all. They say you're free to live in this world however you choose. Be all you can be. Express yourself. No fear. These are the mottos of our day. To have peace on earth, we've got to have peace with this sinful world. We've got to learn to get along, we are told. We've got to deny that there's only one way of salvation. We've got to allow for the possibility of truth in all religions, and the truth that somehow they'll come to saving truth too, and we'll all see him in paradise anyway, even if they don't love Jesus. This is the peace on earth that so many around us, even in our country, are longing for and even praying for. Jesus met people who thought this way and acted like peace lovers with our world. They were called Pharisees. Interestingly enough, in John 8, verse 33, these Pharisees answered Jesus, "We are Abraham's children. We've never been in slavery to anyone. How can you come and tell us that we have to be made free?" And a little bit later, Jesus says, "You are of your father, not Abraham, but the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from himself, for he's a liar and the father of it." And they were believing those lies and thought they were fine. They didn't need Jesus. They didn't need his peace. The one thing we need to remember today more than anything else is that the enmity and hatred that exists in the world between Christ in Satan, between Christians and non-Christians, is actually for our good. It's a sort of a bizarre way of putting it, but of course we know God's in control and he does this for our good. He's put that enmity there so that we would look for peace on earth and not peace with the earth. I want to illustrate this with a story that can only come after we've eaten. Because it talks about fleas. Alright? This is a story from, you maybe have heard of the Dutch author Corrie ten Boom and a book called The Hiding Place in World War II. She and her family helped hide the Jews from the Nazis. And she was talking about an incident that taught her to give thanks to God despite the circumstances around her. She and her sister Betsy had been sent to a concentration camp by the Nazis, and the barracks where they were assigned were not only overcrowded but flea infested. And in spite of the hardships, they continued to study their Bible. And one day the passage read from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank God for their living conditions. Give thanks for the fleas? "Absolutely not," Corrie replied. Betsy persisted. Finally, Corrie gave in and gave thanks even for the fleas. And during the months that they had spent at that prison camp, they were surprised to discover how openly they could actually hold Bible studies and prayer meetings without any interference from the guards. And it was not until much later that they learned the reason why the guards let them do whatever they wanted inside was because the fleas were in there too. And the guards were not going to go in there where the fleas were. You see, the very thing that they didn't like about their circumstances was actually the very thing that God was using to protect and preserve them and their faith. And that is an illustration of exactly what Genesis 3 verse 15 tells us. This enmity between the world, this persecution and trouble between those who love the Lord Jesus and those who do not, is actually for our good. It's a way that helps preserve us. We are free to stick out as sore thumbs in the community because of the things that we believe. For the most part, people leave us alone and let us do whatever we want out here. That's actually for our good. We'd like to see more people joining us doing what God says here and sticking out together with us. But despite that, that's actually for our good. God allows us and preserves us even in that way. So don't try to undo the work of God, but thank Him for the fleas. Thank Him for the things which are offensive to the world. The truth that God's in control. The truth that He saves us from beginning to end, that we persevere to the end because of God's grace alone in our life. Thank Him for the fact that we care about what God's Word says, even when it's unpopular. When we try to be friends with the world, that's when we start becoming enemies with God. The better strategy to try, the only strategy really for us, is to make that unbelieving person not a friend of us, but a friend of God. Because everyone who is a friend of God is automatically my friend. Right? Because as Christians, we are friends with one another. And so that person that you really care about, that you want to be one with and have peace with, tell them the gospel. Show them what Christmas means so that they would have peace with God. And then you'll be able to be friends with them in a real, meaningful way. Jesus knows all about peace. It's part of His job description. He came to bring peace, peace on earth between people and their Creator. And once we have peace with God, then we can have true peace with others. So start with the big thing, peace with God. And then the little things, peace between people who can't get along. And those details will follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. You're so good to us that even the very things that trouble us and can sometimes discourage us, like the trouble that we have living in a sinful and crooked generation, are actually for our good. We thank You for this glimpse into Your heavenly peace and reality. And we do pray that You would grant us the blessing of being able to know more and more people who have peace with God, with whom then we can also have peace here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray.